Nun Aleph, in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, where Rabbi Nizal spoke about a few concepts that seemed mostly esoteric. He spoke about Emes, and he spoke about Tahara and Tuma, and about Tahara being the in-between, between Echod and Tuma. And Rabbi Nizal spoke about the whole concept of before creation, after creation, and we mentioned when we finish the Torah that we'll try to go into some things afterwards that'll bring it closer to home a little bit. There's one chapter in Likutei Halachos that's unique, where Rav Nosson Zal discusses this topic of Emes at tremendous length, and this is one of the chapters, one of the rare occasions where he talks a little bit about his own personal situation. He talks about his father-in-law, who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik, and yet, in his own words, in Rav Nosson Zal's words, who was misled into the mistake that many of the Talmidei Chachamim at that time made, to be choylek against the Hasidim in the way that they were. And in this chapter on Likutei Halachos, he clarifies to a tremendous amount some of the things we had in this chapter on Likutei Moran. So if it's okay, we'll try to cover. We're not going to be learning Likutei Moran inside now, but rather we'll be excerpting from this chapter on Likutei Halachos some of the highlights.
What chapter is it? I think I learned.
It's Hilchas Ribbis, Halacha Hey. It's a famous halacha. He starts off mentioning the fact that Rabbeinu Zal mentions that before Hashem created the world, all that existed was one, meaning that there was only Hashem. As soon as Hashem created the world, immediately there became a concept of more Hashem and the world. The fact that Hashem made something else implied that there was two. So that even at that point, before Adam HaRishon was created, before Chava was created, the minute there existed more than one, there became a potential for Sheker. There became a potential for Hisnagdus, for something to be against something else. Rabbi Nizal mentioned in this chapter on Likutei Moran that the concept of Neged, against, when you have two, there's a possibility for the two to be one, for the two to be in agreement, or for one to disagree with the other. Generally, it could be assumed that when two are in disagreement, one is right, one is wrong. One is Emes, one is Sheker, one is Toiv, one is Ra. So that the minute Hashem made a Bria, there was created a potential. Until then, it wasn't possible for there to be Sheker. But at that point, it became possible for there to be a Ra, or for there to be Sheker. Now, when Hashem finally went ahead and created, for whom did Hashem make this whole creation? The Torah says very clearly, as great and holy as the angels are, they weren't the main purpose in creation. And in terms of the animals, let's say, the animals and birds and trees, even though they're an important part of creation, it wasn't for them. The reason why we know that the Bria wasn't for them is because they don't have Bechira. As great, with all due respect to the Malachim, they can't give Hashem the same nachas as a human being can because of the fact that a human being has Bechira, free choice, and a Malach doesn't. Now, Hashem went ahead and created Adam HaRishon, and again, this was one. In the beginning, trees, everything else, Hashem created thousands of them, millions of them. When it came to creating man, at first Hashem created only one. And while there was one, even though as far as the world was concerned, on a general level, the potential for Sheker had already been prepared, the potential for Ra, but it wasn't coming out into the open yet. And when Hashem created Adam, still no big problem yet. The minute there were two, as soon as Hashem went ahead and created Chava, there's a pasuk in Koheles where Shlomo HaMelech says, Oso Elokim es ha'Adam yosher, Hashem created man, Adam, straight. Yosher means straight. Straight means emes, honest, one way. Vehema bikshu cheshbonos rabim. And they wanted a lot. And Rashi HaKodesh says in Koheles that this refers to that in the beginning when Hashem created just Adam alone, there was no problem. It was Yosher. As soon as it became Hema, as soon as it became plural, more than one, once Chava was created, then there was already Bikshu Cheshboinois Rabim. They started searching Mezimois and Machshovois Shel Chet, Rashi said. They started looking for sins to do. Why? Because there was more than one. As soon as you move away from Echod, you get closer to this Sheker, Torah. Now the question is, why Bedavka should it be that the potential for Ra was so much more in Chava than in Odom? Rav Nosson Zal explains, one clear reason is, you have to look and see how Chava was created. Chava was created at night, in a sense, in darkness. The Torah says that Hashem placed a tardema, a deep sleep, on Odom Arishon, and that's how Chava was created. Sleep represents histalkus hadas. When a person's sleeping, the brain is 99.9% shut down. The Gemara says sleep is 1/60th of death. Rav Nosson Zal mentions many times that the less brains a person has, the less sechel, the less intellect, the longer it feels it's taking. We have the classic example when you take people that have children. No, when you take children on a trip, and that you tell them the trip is going to take 15 minutes. We're going from here, it's going to take 15 minutes. When are we going to get there? How soon are we going to get there? We're not there. You said it was 15 minutes. To them, the younger a person is, the longer the time feels. The older and more mature a person gets, the faster time seems to be flying, whizzing by. Which means, and Rabbeinu Zal gives the example, when a person's sleeping at night, in sleep, sometimes a person could fall asleep and sleep for 3 minutes. Literally, they wake up they looked at the clock, fell asleep, had a dream. In the dream, it felt as if they went through 10 years of their life, and they wake up and it's 3 minutes later. Why is that? Because when you're sleeping, the das, the person's brain, is at one of its lowest levels. Therefore, the zman, it feels like it's taking a long time. It feels like a lot of time is passing. So therefore, we have this concept of Chava being created in a lack of das, in a histalkus hadas, in a tardema, sleep. This is why the Gemara says, Noshim daiton kalois, because the place that they originated from, their creation took place in a form of sleep, number one. And number two, the fact that this sleep represents a lot of time, it feels like a long time, time represents also shinuyim. When we talk about time passing, as time passes, change. There's no achdus anymore. There's no oneness. 24 hours goes by, you have two already. You have day and night. A season goes by, or a couple of days goes by, you have hot days, cold days, you have koyer, v'choyim, kayitz, v'choyref. The whole concept of time is a concept of shinuyim. Proof is, we say in Mariv, u'bisvuna mishane itim, that with Hashem's wisdom, He's mishane itim, He changes times, umachlif, and exchanges zmanim. So we see that the concept of zman is synonymous with change. And change means more than one. When there's one, there's no change. When there's more than one, there's change. So that again, this concept of chava being created at night, when the zman is longer, when it feels like the time feels as if it's a longer time, that represents this concept of more than one, this hema, bikshu cheshbonis rabim, which means an opening for sheker, an opening for ra.
How could she be created at night?
I don't mean literally at night. I mean when Adam Arishan was in a state of tardema, a deep sleep. In other words, the lights were closed in a sense, his eyes were closed. When a person's in a tardema, the das, that's called histalkus hadas. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says, so that's where the problems began. Because of the fact that she represented number two, in other words, a second one, because of the fact that she represented zman, shinui, change, that's all in the category of sheker. Because echod, Hashem echod, is emes. One is emes. In more than one, there's two. We mentioned the fact that when you want to say the truth about something, you could only give it one definition. This is a table. If I want to lie, sheker is many. I could say it's a chair, it's a telephone, it's a clock. That's the whole concept of emes versus sheker. Therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says, a Jew has to know that one of the ways that a person is zoche to get to emes, and one of the ways that a person is zoche to make a tikkun for the whole world, is if a Jew can show that in two opposite situations, his reaction is still one and the same, That's a concept of making a tikkun of the world. He's bringing the two back to one. The concept of Bashem Ahalel Dovor, Belekim Ahalel Dovor. A Jew who reaches a madrega, where not only when things are going good for them, do they thank Hashem, do they say, thank you Hashem, but even when things are going bad for them, seemingly bad, this person looks for the good in it. He turns the bad around in his own mind. He's malamed zchus on Hashem, and he says, relative to the way I am, this isn't the bad, this isn't the problem, this is a gift. The fact that Hashem only gave me one smack, I have to be dancing, jumping for joy, because relative to what I deserve, one smack is like a strawberry shortcake with whipped cream compared to what I really deserve. Rav Nosson Zal says, this person is taking the two and bringing it back to one. He's taking the toiv and the ra and making toiv out of both of them. He's saying that in his mind, he judges that it's all from the goodness of Hashem. When we say gam zula toiva, it means this ra, this item that the world would normally consider ra, to me, I say it's part of toiv, which means it's part of echod. Because we said that when we say bayoimahu yeh Hashem echod ushma echod, it means that people are going to say hatoiv ha-meitiv for everything. Rav Nosson Zal says, now we could understand why one of the most important mitzvahs in the Torah is tzedakah. To such an extent that the Gemara says that a person who gives tzedakah, the mitzvah of tzedakah is shokul keneged the whole Torah. Because there's a pasuk in the Torah where it says, utzedakah tihi elonu. The Torah, the entire Torah, is given a nickname, tzedakah. And we find also the Gemara says, v'chato'echa b'tzedakah proik. That with tzedakah, a person can actually redeem themselves from sins. They can get their sins erased. Why? Because Rav Nosson Zal says, what makes tzedakah so special in Hashem's eyes? In tzedakah, you're taking two and making one. You're taking an oshir and an oni, a person who has more money and a person who has less money, who normally should be at odds with each other. Within the norms of the world, the Torah says that vayirdoif ish oni vevyoin. That unfortunately the norm is people that have a lot of money resent poor people many times. They're the ones that get nastiest. They see a poor guy collecting. Oh yeah, he's not too sure. He probably has more money than I do. Or he's sure. I saw him eating a sandwich. If he were really poor, he should only have bread. He should be eating dirt. He should be eating sand. It bothers them that the guy has a sandwich. He's able to afford to put butter in the bread. And another pasuk Rav Nosson Zal brings where it says, Kol achei rosh sanuhu. That the brothers of a poor man hate him. Meaning that again, it's within the potential of human nature that if somebody is different from me, I dislike him. If I'm wealthy and he's poor, we find in many cases that wealthy people or poor people can't communicate with the wealthy. They're not talking the same language. They have a whole different language that they talk, the wealthy people from the poor people. So if a Jew goes ahead and says that for me, this doesn't exist, this difference, these two don't exist. By me, it's one. We're both one and the same. If I'm a little richer and he's a little poorer, I don't consider him one iota different than me, one iota less than me. But rather, I'm willing to bridge the gap between us by making myself a little poorer, by taking something out of my wallet and putting something into his wallet. I'm bringing an achdus between the two of us. This again is tikkun ha'olam. It's literally taking the world and bringing it back to that state of koidam abriya when there was only echod in the world. And it's for this reason, Rav Nosson Zal says again, the same problem that Chava had in the fact that she was created from sleep, when Adam Rishon was asleep, that histalkus hadas, that's the same problem with money. When we say that money is such an evil, destructive item, what's so bad about money? The Gemara says clearly, the Gemara says that when a person is standing Shemayin Esrei, Horoitze lahachkim yadrim, horoitze lahashir yatspin. If a person wants brains, if a person wants to become smart, they should face towards Doroim. They should face east, but a little bit towards the right, towards south, southeast. The Gemara says if a person wants to become wealthy, they should face the opposite direction, north, northeast, tsofin, which implies that money is the opposite of brains. Money represents histalkus hadas, moving away. In order to get to money, you have to move away from das. And that's why Rav Nosson Zal says the majority of machlokes in the world is over money. People argue over money because, again, because as you move away from Das and Sechel, you're getting to this Pirud, you're getting to the two, not one. When there's two, there's potential for machloikis and everything. As the Pasuk says, V'alpas lechem yifsha gever, that people fight over bread, in other words, over a piece of bread. And therefore, bedafka, when it comes to money, a Jew has to strive to do everything they can to show the opposite of machlokes, to bring about a shalom, an ahava, with money, by sharing with the other person, by being as considerate for the other person's money as I am for myself. All of that represents making the two into one. And for this reason also, Rav Nosson Zal says, the same problem as we said about Chava being created at night, Zman, that the nighttime represents when the Zman is Mizgaber, when it feels like it's much longer than it really is, that's the same problem with money. What's the problem with money, Rav Nosson Zal says? Most people, you take just about any person in the world, which person doesn't have enough money for today, to exist today, for breakfast, lunch, and supper? There's just about nobody in the world. And Rav Nosson Zal says, even if you're going to find somebody that doesn't, so what? Which person can't fast for one day? If that's really the situation, that the person doesn't have money even for food today, that's no problem to a certain extent, because one day he can go without food. Elamai, that's not what the person's worried about. He's worried about tomorrow, or he's worried about a week from now, or a month from now, or some people have $3 million in the bank, and they're still worried. What are they worrying about? They're worried, what if there's going to be an inflation 5 years from now? What if the stock market will crash? What about my children? What about my grandchildren? How am I going to who knows if they're going to be able to provide? I got to save for them. So Rav Nosson Zal says, when it comes to money also, because money represents the opposite of Sechel, Sechel is Doraim and money is Tzofin, just like nighttime represents Histalkus Adas, therefore by money also, the whole problem is time. People don't want to wait. That whole problem of being concerned about tomorrow, in other words, for a long time, what's going to happen out into the future? Whereas, and this is why Rav Nosson Zal says, one of the worst sins that a Jew could do, in, according to the Torah, is to lend somebody money and charge him interest. Because what is interest? What is ribbis? Ribbis is you're charging the person money for time. Agar naturi, because I'm waiting, because I got to wait a week or a month or a year to get my money back. For that waiting, I'm going to charge you so much and so much percent. But why? Because again, this person is showing this concept of pirud, that there isn't any one. But this person is showing that to them, the time is an issue. There is really zman. There is such a concept as more than one. There isn't Hashem Echad. It's not all one. But rather, to me, every day that goes by is a whole different world. And therefore, you owe me money for that waiting. And Rav Nosson Zal said that's why this is considered so much of a criminal act, where the Gemara says a person who takes ribbis chas v'shalom, it's as if he's koifer in the whole Torah, it's as if he's denying the whole Torah, and it's as if he's koifer in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is he koifer in the whole Torah? Rav Nosson Zal says, I'll show you how the whole Torah is based on this. What's the whole Torah about? The Gemara says, schar mitzvah b'hayalma leka. There's no such thing as getting rewarded in this world. Because if a Jew would see, if a Jew would put a shekel into that tzedakah box, and immediately a door would open from heaven and hand them a $100 bill because he gave tzedakah, which nut wouldn't give tzedakah? Everybody would be giving tzedakah. People are willing to invest, people are willing to take out 100 shekel from their pocket and buy stuff, hoping they're going to make 3 cents profit or 10 cents profit, that kind of thing. Which person would be crazy enough that if they saw that for 1 shekel tzedakah, Hashem gives you 100 shkolim back in exchange, which person wouldn't do it? Elamai, what's the entire test of the Torah? The test is wait. That's why I can't give it to you on the spot. If Hashem gave you a reward immediately, then there wouldn't be any Bechira. The fact that you have to wait for 120 years or 70 years or however long a person has to wait to see the results, that's the whole Kiyum HaTorah. That's where the whole Schar comes involved. This character now, who says that for waiting I want to get paid, I don't want to wait. The fact that I have to wait is no good. If I have to wait, I have to charge you for my waiting. He's denying the foundation of the whole Torah. He's saying that waiting is no good. Hashem says waiting is excellent. Waiting is wonderful. It's the right thing. You don't have to get paid extra for waiting. That's normal. this person's saying that waiting is abnormal. If I gave you $100,000, I got to wait a week to get it back. I got to get back $105. He's denying the whole Yisoid of the Torah. That's why he's Koifer B'chol HaTorah. He's Koifer in Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, Hashem showed that there was no time. There wasn't day and night. It says that Hashem turned night into day. In the middle of the night, the Jews went out of Mitzrayim in the middle of the night and the lights were on. Hashem left the sun burning. Hashem showed that there's no concept of two, night and day. It's all Echod, one. So this is the reason why this is considered so criminal an act. Because again, it's the opposite of Hashem Echod. It's showing that there is a concept. Time is different for me. In other words, there are different times. Where does this whole thing originate from? But Bechlal, the whole concept of a Tirdas HaParnosa, the fact that people struggle and go through difficulty in Parnosa, where does it originate from? The Torah says that when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, which was toiv vora, good and bad, the minute there was two there, they ate from the Eitz Hadas, Hashem gave the curse, be'itzovo in toichlena. Now you're going to have to struggle to earn a living. This whole concept of Tirdas HaParnos, again, came from a place of pirud, when there was two. Adam Rishon was told there's two trees, there's Eitz HaChaim, and there's Eitz Hadas, which is toiv vora. This tree has one, this tree has two. Stay away from the two. The minute he picked the two, the toiv vora, the two different ones, Pirud, then suddenly it became Bitzov and Techalena. The people struggle. The concept of Yato Noisen on Esochlom Beitoi, that Hashem gives the person the Parnosa at the right time. When's the right time? Just when you feel like you're ready to die. A person's about to drop dead. He waited as long as he could, and a week past that, and that's when Hashem gives him the money. Why? Again, because of this whole concept of the fact that a person feels time, the fact that it feels like a long time, is only from this lack of das, this das that's pogum. Because to people who have true das, there's no concept of time. For them, everything is one. It's all the oneness of Hashem. There's no concept of it took a month. By them, every day is one. It's not by another person, every day is a whole different sa, a whole different problem. And by tzaddikim, every day is simply serving Hashem. Whether I'm going through a good, whether it's hot or cold, it's all one to them. Whether it's day or night, it's all one to them. And Rav Nosson Zal says this is one of the reasons why it's considered so big an accomplishment when tzaddikim get up at chatzos, tzaddikim get up at midnight. What's the big deal? Why is that considered to be so important an issue? Because again, by the fact that he does that, not just getting up in the middle of the people who sleep at night, for them there's two. There's day and night, and it's two different worlds. The tzaddik, who waits for the thick of the night, the time when any normal person is going to be sleeping, because then you really have to be sleeping. Now chatzos is a quarter to two in the morning. Which normal person isn't going to be sleeping then? And the fact that bedafka then, he turns that into day, he says that for me, there is no two. For me, I'm going to take the thickest part of the night, the hardest part of night, and turn it into day. That again is making this achdus, this oneness, he's converting two to one, which means affecting a tremendous tikkun for the world. That's why Rav Enizal says in one place that getting up at saying tikkun chatzos is a tikkun just like a pidyon. Just like giving a tzaddik, tzedakah, for a pidyon, chatzos is like a pidyon. Because just like we said before, that tzedakah brings about this achdus, this oneness and shalom, this concept of getting up at chatzos is making one between night and day. And Rav Nosson Zal says, now we can understand the beautiful incident in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Dovr HaMelech used to get up for Chatzos every single night, and first he would pray to Hashem, and then he would learn. Then when the morning would come, the Jews would come into him and say, Dovr HaMelech, give us Parnosa. We need Parnosa. Amcho Yisrael tzrichem Parnosa. So the Gemara says, Dovr HaMelech would say to them, L'chu v'sparnasu zemizeh. You need Parnosa? Fine. Go out and do business with each other and you'll make money. So they would say to him, what are you talking about? We'll do business with each other. Ein ha-koymetz mazbiyes ha-ari, ve-ein ha-boyer nismalei ebon chuyosoy. We'll do business with how much profit could we make on each other? Two Jews, I'll give you a glass of water and you give me a piece of cake. Where's the profit? Where's the chiddush of parnasa going to come in? And again, if a person digs a hole and puts the sand back into the hole, is he going to make it, is he going to create anything new? This is what they said to him. So Dovr HaMelech said to them, okay, then fine. Get the army together and go out and beat up the goyim and take their wealth, take money from them. Rav Nosson Zal says, what is this talking about? And he explains that this is the whole concept, this is the whole concept that we said before. When this to the fact that Jews suffer in Parnassa, this beat Sova in Techlena came about in eating from the Eitz Hadas, which was Toivora. Two, when there's Pirut, then there's the difficulty in Parnassa. The Gemara says one machloikis can be doichem mea parnosos. If two Jews get into a fight, or chas v'shalom, there's lack of shalom bias, that can destroy 100 opportunities for Parnassa. Why? Because there's Pirut, there's two. So now we understand when the Gemara makes a point of putting these things together. Dovid HaMelech got up for Chatzos. When the Jews saw that he got up for Chatzos, they saw that by him there wasn't two. By him it was one. Night and day were one by him. So therefore they came to him and said, give us Parnassa. They knew that if he's doing that, he's the one who could give Parnassa. So he said to them, no problem. Simply make parnasa with each other. Again, implying that if Jews will be friendly to each other, if lechu is parnasu batzmachem, if you'll be good to each other, you'll trade, you'll barter with each other, you'll have oneness between you, you'll have parnasa b'shefa. So they said to him, sorry, that's not the case now. Because nowadays, because of the fact that Chassid Rachman al-Tzlan, the Yidden were not in such a good state, they weren't such tzaddikim and everything, the Achdus wasn't proper, therefore all the Shefa, all the wealth that should have been by the Jews, fell away from the Jews and fell into the hands of the Goyim. So that nowadays, because we are in this, even though David HaMelech was doing his thing, that was fine for him, but all the other Jews weren't in such a good state of Achdus. So them trying to do business with each other wouldn't be enough to get the Shefa. The Shefa's already in the Goyim's hands. What do you do then? So David HaMelech said, if that's the case, then you're right. Then you have to go and take it back from them. Then you have to go fight with the Goyim and defeat them to get it back from them. Once you lost the Shefa, once there's this machloikas among the Jews, and therefore the Shefa spilled out, it ran away from the Jews, it's in the hands of the Goyim, now you have to do battle with them to be able to restore it and get it back. And this is why also the Shulchan Aruch says that even bigger than tzedakah, a bigger mitzvah than tzedakah, is gemilas chesed, or havoas chein, lending somebody money, or giving this concept of gemach. Why? Because again, tzedakah implies to some extent that there's two, oni and oshir. When it comes to gemilas chesed, the Gemara says tzedakah is only to poor people. The term tzedakah is giving to poor people. Gemilas chesed, or alone could even be to a wealthy person. So the concept of lending money is something where anim and ashirim could be alike. Even if somebody is wealthy, we have cases of people who have $10 million and go into the bank to borrow money. He wants to do a certain iska business. His money is tied up in certain assets. He needs money to be able to do more. So therefore, this concept of gemilas chesed, or halva, giving it, not the one who's receiving it, the one who's giving it, that's even a higher level of achdus and shalom than tzedakah itself is. And this is why also we find, we had this in last week's parsha, in Bahar, where the ribbis is called neshech. One of the names, one of the nicknames, it says neshech v'sarbus. What is neshech? Neshech is usually the term for a snake biting. Ha'im yishach ha'nochosh b'loy lachash, the Gemara says, does a snake bite without any excuse? And we know the Gemara says that the concept that when the snake is asked, if Hashem cursed you, that anything you eat tastes like dirt to you, v'nochosh ofor lachmoy, whatever eats tastes like dirt, why do you go ahead and bite a person? If you're not going to get any more pleasure out of human flesh or blood than you get from dirt, then why do you bite? So the snake answered, why does a person tell Lashon Hara? What pleasure does somebody get in making somebody else look bad?
A lot of pleasure.
So the Gemara, zero, but a person who's nuts, and as a person has to be crazy to find that pleasurable.
People gossip for their life.
Right. But that's an illness. Those people are suffering from a certain illness because logically, it doesn't make any, how does it make you better off if he's bad? Now, saying that he's bad doesn't prove that you're any better than if you would have shut your mouth. If you said nothing about that guy, you weren't any worse. It didn't prove to the world you were any worse off than by saying, oh, look at that. You see what that person did, or you see what that person's doing and everything, making him look bad is no proof that you're any better. And yet people do it, the Nachash said. That's why I bite. So we see that this concept of the snake biting refers specifically to Lashon Hara, to sinna among Jews, to machloikis. That's the same term that's used for ribbis. Because charging interest, we said, implies also this lack of achdus. This concept of where time, the fact that there's an extension of time, time to me means changes. It justifies a different amount of money than what I gave you originally. I gave you $100. The fact that a week passed by, it's not $100 anymore. It's a different amount. Versus a person who doesn't charge any interest, where to him, a day, a week, a year, it's all one. It's all one. I don't feel I'm owed anything additional for that purpose. And this is why also, Rav Nosson Zal says, when we talk about the concept of tshuva, that the most important thing, when a person chas shalom goes away from Hashem, we say that the whole tikkun is tshuva. What is tshuva? Returning to Hashem. What does returning to Hashem imply? It implies, again, this taking two and making it into one. When a person does an avera, it implies pirud. He walked away from Hashem. The more averas a Jew does, the more they make it obvious that there isn't only one. Because Hashem said he wants things done this way. Very often a teacher, let's say, or a parent says, I want you to do it this way. The child does the opposite. It shows that the child isn't one with a parent. That there's two opinions. There's the parent's opinion and the child's opinion. By Hashem also, the concept of Averois is a concept of Pirud too. Tshuva means return to this state of one. Return to going back to being one with Hashem. And this is why also Rav Nosson Zal points out that if we take the period of Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah is considered to be the opening of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the most important part of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and we see that on Rosh Hashanah, the main mitzvah is Tkiyah Shofar, blowing Shofar. That's the mitzvah that's Doiraisa on Rosh Hashanah. The Shofar is synonymous with Yaakov Avinu, which is Emes. We said that all the whole tikkun, the Adam Rishon eating from the Eitz Hadas, meant Pirud. Toivorah, too. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar. The sound of the shofar, the Torah says about Yaakov Avinu, HaKoil Koil Yaakov. That sound, this koil of the shofar, is synonymous with Yaakov Avinu. Why? Why Bedafka should Yaakov Avinu, and we find in the Gemara, that Yaakov Avinu is called Bechir Shebovois, the best one of the Avos HaKadoshim. Why? Rav Nosson Zal explains, based on this chapter on Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal said that there was Koidem Abriya, before Hashem created the world, there was only the oneness of Hashem. Then Hashem made a creation, Achar Abriya, then there became a concept of two. The question is, if things were so great before Hashem created the world, if it was so much better, then why did He create it? Because as great as it was before Hashem created the world, it's not as great as when you take... To have one is nowhere near as beautiful as where you take two and make one from them. When you start out with one alone, it's one. Start out with a zohar in the world, so fine, he's a man. He's a tzaddik, he does mitzvahs from today till tomorrow, fine. The Torah says, loy toy veyoy sodom levadoy, that if a person is alone, until he gets married, he's not really, you can't really use the term toiv about him. He's loy toiv. He's in the category of loy toiv. Once he's zohar to get married, then there's two, and the two become one, there's an achdus between them, that's called a higher level of toiv. That's called a better toiv. Rav Nosson Zal says, Avram Avinu is called Isha Chesed. Avram Avinu represents Koidem Abriya, when there was just Hashem in the world, which is Kulei Toiv, Kulei Chesed. Yitzchok Avinu is called Din, Pachad Yitzchok. That's Achar Abriya. We know that in order for creation to take place, there had to be a Tzimtzum. There had to be Hashem had to confine His light in order to make room for creation. That's Yitzchok Avinu. Yaakov Avinu represents the combination of both. By Yaakov Avinu, it's taking the Achar Abriya and bringing it back to Koidem Abriya. It's uniting both of them together. That's this concept of Emes. Emes is Aleph, Mem, and Tov. Aleph is one extreme, the beginning of the Aleph Beis. Tov is the opposite end of the Aleph Beis, all the way on the other side, and you have the Mem in middle, uniting both of them together. That's this concept of the blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. That's why one of the main prerequisites for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is that Jews have to ask each other for mechila first, before going into Rosh Hashanah, this concept of making the one. And also the fact that we find that the Gemara makes a comment that when Hashem judges Klal Yisrael on Rosh Hashanah, first it says in the Gemara that Hashem has each one of the Jews brought before him like sheep. Like when you're counting sheep, a person has a whole herd of sheep in a barn. What he does is he opens the gate a little bit, allowing one sheep to pass through at a time, and that way he's able to count them and examine them. It says that kol boi olam oivram lefonov kivnei morim, that the Jews pass before Hashem in single file. That's what it says first in the Gemara, and then the Gemara goes through a whole discussion about it, and then the Gemara says, v'chulon niskorin b'skirachas. However, the truth is, Hashem is so big that with one glance, He judges all of Klal Yisrael. Question is, make up your mind. Which is it? Does he do it single file with each one separately, or does He do it in one glance? And the answer is, both together. Kaviyachol, on one hand, in order for Hashem to be able to judge Jews lekaf schus, how do you judge someone lekaf schus? If somebody does something bad, how do you justify it? The answer is, you say circumstances. That his circumstances are not the same as mine. If he had things as easy as me, he wouldn't have done that thing wrong. The fact that he did this thing wrong or said this thing wrong is because he's in pain. For example, the Gemara says, "Ein adam nitpas al tzaroi." When a person is upset and they say something nasty or they do something bad, you can't really judge the person bad because he's talking from a place of pain. He doesn't really mean what he's saying. So to a degree, you have to give him right to a degree in a sense. So in order to do that, you have to look at each and every single person as being different on one hand. Each and every person is a different case. If everybody's one and the same, then I can judge everybody the same way. It's a problem. So in order to accommodate that concept, Hashem takes each and every Jew as an individual. As an individual, they're all different, they're all unique. Each one can be judged lekaschus for a different excuse. But then at the end, once Hashem has accomplished that, then kulam niskorim b'skirachas. The tachlis is, that's not the goal. The goal, the success isn't that each Jew should be doing his own thing. The success is that from all the different Jews, they should become an achdus haposhut. The success isn't that they should all think exactly alike. The success is that even though they have different minds and think differently and act differently and all, and still they're able to unite over Hashem. Hashem is able, the desire to serve Hashem and to please Hashem is something which all the different ones are all united to a certain extent. This is pretty much the first half, a certain major section of that halacha, Nikutei Halachos, which Rabbi Nosson Zal uses to explain this chapter on Nikutei Moran. Those that were here last week when we learned the Torah, Rabbi Nosson Zal spoke about this concept of Echod and Koidem Abriya versus Lachar Abriya, and that the whole problem began when there was two, more than one, could appreciate this more and could understand how this can actually serve as an explanation for everything that's found in the Torah. Bechlal, anytime the Jews went into Golus, it was always the minute there was two, by Yosef HaTzadik, the brothers dislike, there was them and him and them and us. The minute they became that, right away we see the Be'itzovo in Teichlena. We see there was no food, they had to go down to Mitzrayim, and all this suffering began. And Rav Nosson Zal writes there that again, this is the whole problem even among tzaddikim. The Torah testifies that you had a Shol HaMelech, who was so great at tzaddik that the Gemara says when he passed away, he was as pure as the day that he was born, with one exception. The one exception was this issue, machloikis, that even for the biggest tzaddik, it's hard to be saved from falling into this trap, where for the sake of emes, because he believes that he's right and his way is the correct way, Rachmon Litzlan, it results in all kinds of machloikis and catastrophe and all kinds of problems. And Rav Nosson Zal says this is where the mistake that's being made. The Gemara testifies that before the coming of Moshiach, the emes is going to be nederis. The fact that each camp, each group of Jews is going to be saying that they have the emes. And if that's not a problem, so again, the minute you have that, you have to realize that obviously the emes is messed up now. Obviously the emes is in a state of mess, because emes implies one. The minute you're saying you're emes and he's saying he's emes, the emes bichlal is defective now. So for a Jew to feel that he has the authority to go out and kill somebody, or to go out and insult and embarrass somebody, that kind of thing, because of the emes, he's implying that his emes is in such a state of tikkun and perfection that he's ready to do that. That itself is a tremendous mistake. And Bechlali writes there that how much a person has to question themselves whenever it comes to this item of looking bad on somebody else, or looking at somebody else as being wrong, the lack of emes, and assuming that my level of emes is higher than the other person's level of emes, a person has to be very careful in being able to do that. There's one short item, about four lines, that Rav Nosson Zal says here, which is a very sharp point for all of us to hear. Rav Nosson Zal says, as part of this halacha, that umi sheroitze lahatzil ulamaleit nafshoi me'esh hamachloikis, if a Jew wants to make sure to save themselves from this destructive fire of machloikis, shehu garua me'akoil, which is worse than anything else, ikra hatzalosoi al yedei ho'emes shehu b'chinas sholoim. The main way to save oneself is through a type of truth that goes hand in hand with peace, with shalom. Kamay Shekosva, as the Pasuk says, shalom ve'emes yihye biyomai. That there has to be, the emes has to go together with shalom. If your emes is an emes which causes machlokes, then there's a problem with it. Rav Nosson Zal writes, ki kishistakel al ho'emes la'mitoi. Because if a person will really look closely at the emes, at the truth of the truth, the person will certainly be saved from machlokes. And here he makes the point: ki af al pi shelo yizke lahasig v'leida heichen hu emes. Even though it's very rare that a Jew could possibly be zeche to know the truth in its purest form, machmas sheloi hisyagea bavoidosoi koroi. Because the person hasn't really struggled in serving Hashem to the highest degree. Because for a Jew to be worthy of being zeichet to the ultimate truth, that takes an incredible, incredible level of serving Hashem. A person has to be purify himself from all taivas rois, from all midos rois. He has to be a super, super tzaddik to be worthy of achieving the pure truth. So therefore, you have to know that the odds are one in a billion that we're holding by that. Avol al kol ponim. Despite that, even though knowing full well that to reach the pure, pure truth, we're not capable of it, we're really not capable of it, al kol ponim, lo yihye roideif v'choylek v'lo yachzik b'machloikas erodifes chas Hashem lirdoi fachran shemes. At least the person should see to it not to fight against anything that's emes or anything that might be emes. A Jew, the fact that somebody's a Jew immediately implies there's a certain degree of emes in him. He's got an eshama in him. He's got something good in him, which means a certain spark of truth. Afal pi shenidmaloi lehepech, even though it appears to you the opposite. Kimaloi uletzora azois lesake nafshe kolkach. Why in the world should a person go looking for trouble and looking to put their own life in danger? And Rav Nosson Zal writes, V'chol ze yefshe levar b'ksav. The truth is, I can't really explain this in writing, how important an advice this is. V'hachofetz be'emes yovin kol zois b'nafshoi. A person who really wants the truth will understand this in his own heart. That any kind of emes that leads to machloikis is not the ultimate emes. It's only, in other words, it is not pure emes. It's only a type of emes that leads to shalom. That's the true quality of emes. Well, I wish to be zeicher to that kind of emes that represents achdus, not machlokes, and be zeicher to see the world in its purest form, the lachra abriya being brought back to koydim abriya, and with that get to see the coming of Moshiach, to be on Beis Midrash, my Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Excuse me?
Whoever stuck to their guns, whoever thought they were, you know, was the voice of Emes, didn't back them from saying that it's right, because there was always a Machlokes. In order to go away from it, they would have had a, just
quiet and sane.
Exactly, which is basically what Moshe Rabbeinu did to an extent. We find that the Gemara says it's not called Machloikis Moshe v'Koirach. The Mishnah says in Perkei Avos that Machloikis L'Shem Shamayim is Machloikis Shamay Hillel. Machloikis Shelo L'Shem Shamayim is Machloikis Koirach v'Adosoi. Why? Because the truth is Moshe Rabbeinu was never involved in the Machloikis. When we say that there was Machloikis against Rabbeinu Zal, was he involved in a machlekes? Baloney. Rabbeinu Zal himself said he judged them all a kafskos. He said they're not fighting against me. They have no problem with me. They painted a picture of a certain guy who's a thief and a liar and a cheat and everything. And that guy, they want to kill him. They want to put him in cherem and everything. They're right. If I were that guy, they're 100% right. It's just that they're making a mistake. They're confusing me with that guy. The minute he took that attitude, you see, he wasn't in a state of machlekes with them. Same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the whole point here. When a person gets up in shul and says, "I want this aliyah," and the other one says, they're fighting over emes. The Torah is emes. Each one wants to serve Hashem, and it's a type of fight that leads to sin. That can't be the right kind of.